Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and I am talking with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. And Steve, we've got a lot to talk about today, some interesting things about how the left's agenda may not be flying so well now that the president has been in office for a few weeks.
It's always easier in governing to be the opposition party than to be the ruling party. You actually have to keep people going along with you when you are in charge, and they're in charge. But before we get into those discussions, a friend of mine, Claudia Tenney, ran for re-election in New York 22. That's in the conservative part of New York. She's a pro-life woman from New York. I mean, you just don't find those. She served with me a couple of years, and then she was defeated by a Democrat. She ran again for that seat, and on election day had 22-vote lead. That lead kind of held up through the months, now 3 months plus since the election. She finally got the vote total up to 122. But all of the absentee ballots, all of the mail-in ballots, all of these things that the Democrats have put in motion have caused such chaos that we couldn't even declare a winner now, and it's been over 3 months. But a judge finally stepped in and said Claudia Tenney is the winner, so congratulations to her.
Wow.
Now, another significant move, the Democrats stripped committee assignments from Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's the Republican from Georgia. I don't espouse many of the views that she does, but she is elected by the people of that district, and until they unelect her, she should have a voice in committee and on the floor. And in a very unsettling move, the Democrats voted in lockstep to strip her of all of her committee assignments to where she has no basic foundation to introduce bills or to make comment on the bills that are being passed. She'll never get the opportunity as a freshman to speak on the floor. And so they have really silenced her a lot. Now, they take issue with her viewpoints, but I will tell you, a lot of people take issue with Representative Ilhan. They take issue with AOC. They take issue with a lot of things, and yet no time in our history has the ruling body taken the right to represent away from someone on the other side. Now, parties have done that. Parties have said to individuals that we're going to take you off. The Republicans took a friend of mine, Steve King, off of his committees when he made statements publicly, but to have the opposition party do that, the party in power do that, is very unsettling. But to the points that you're making, I think the thing that strikes everyone are the executive orders coming out of the Biden administration. Even the New York Times has begun to express concern about it, saying that he's reaching too far, that he's doing too many things through executive orders. We heard a lot of comments and a lot of criticism because Trump put out a lot of executive orders, and yet the New York Times says that Biden has put out more executive orders than Clinton, Bush, and Trump all combined. And yet we're not hearing anything from the left about how dangerous that is. This idea that you're going to rule with a pen rather than through consensus, because it does take consensus to get legislation through, especially when you have a small majority like the Democrats have in both the House and the Senate, it's going to take tremendous amount of compromise. And that's what the Democrats don't want. They speak of unity, but they're governing with a very divisive method, that is using the pen rather than legislation to govern. But I think that one of the great overreaches is going to be in this attack on the fossil fuels. You can like it or you cannot like it, but two-thirds of our energy is produced by fossil fuels, both coal and oil and natural gas. If you add in nuclear, you've got another 20%, so that puts you into the 85 or 90% category. You take hydroelectric, that's another 5 or 6%, and you only have about 3%, 4% of our power maybe coming from wind and solar. The idea that any of us are going to be content running our electricity, content running our home heater or home air conditioner only 6 or 7 or 8% of the day is one that's just not going to sell well. Jimmy Carter was elected in 1976, and he was pushing the same agenda that the U.S. is consuming way too much energy. And so on April the 18th of 1977, he had a famous speech where he wore his cardigan sweater out on and was sitting having a little fireside chat. Everybody kind of wants to go back to the days of Franklin Roosevelt. Roosevelt, and he had announced to the public that you're going to have to turn your thermostats down to 68 and just dress warmer. You're just going to have to get used to it. That's the way it is. Never going to be any different. The people showed him it didn't actually work out very well for him at all. He was not reelected to a second term, but we instead found great new sources of energy. We found new pockets of oil, new tremendous deposits of oil that even are still, the discovery is going on as late as 4 or 5 years ago. New Mexico is going to make more oil from one field that was discovered 5 or 6 years ago. It'll make more oil from that one field than it has in all of its geography, the entire state, through the entire history of New Mexico. That's how much oil was laying out there unfound. And so the idea that we're suddenly out of energy and that you're going to have to pay more and turn your thermostat down is one that I don't think is going to go so well for the administration. It's a thought that simply is going to take the consumer to buy into it. When you start telling people they've got to pay double and triple for their oil, for the gasoline to drive their cars, I will just tell you that people are going to rebel. So it's a lot easier to sit up in Washington and sign these executive orders and have this war on oil. It's a lot easier to start the war than to finish the war, because the consumer, the voter, will eventually decide exactly where that goes. Now, the executive orders that Biden has put out have another serious one. And Kelly Paul writing for the Daily Wire, February the 6th article, points out that a Biden executive order is telling women, you got to give up all the gains you've made towards equality. You've got to give up all the gains that you've made to try to get women to be out and participate. And now then, you women, according to Biden's executive order, you're going to have to go and sit on the bench, and we want you to sit down over there and clap politely as the males, the biological males, take home all the honors that you should be getting. So the case is, in Connecticut, two men, biological men, are competing as women, and they've won between them 15 state titles in different women's sports since 2017, 18, and 19. 15 state titles between the two of them. Now, they could never compete as men, so that's the reason they went over to the women's side, and Biden's executive order is telling women, just be quiet, sit down, shut up, and keep your feet off the furniture, because this is the way it's going to be. Well, there's a young girl, Selena Soule, there in Connecticut, who is saying, wait, I've trained for years. I have reached the top of my field, and I think she's in track, but she's saying to the courts, and she's got a couple of other high school students that are right along with her, saying, I'm being robbed of my opportunities for scholarships, for visibility, for placement on teams. It's all being taken away by biological men. And so basically, the women are being told that all of these things that they've strived for through the decades is going to be set aside by this executive order. The Democrats are saying that they're the party of science. Where is the science for the Democrat Party? Because science is very clear. There is a difference biologically between men and women, and these competitions are showing it to be true. We know it to be true. We've had young girls that ended up in the hospital because of male soccer players or some sort of contact sport where women were competing against each other, and suddenly men are there. And so where is the science that the Democrats always look to? Now, Derek, it's an amazing thing that is going on right now, but the Biden administration is going to find its own side asking questions. Why are we doing it this way?
Okay, so let me ask you this then. Women get preference for government contracts. Could I then identify as a woman tomorrow and then be able to apply for preference in government contracts?
Absolutely. The executive order doesn't simply say in sports. It just says it's going to recognize what people believe their sex to be, not what the medical doctors or the biologists say that it is. And so, absolutely. And so, if you can declare your gender, then I suspect that there will be court cases that say, okay, if you can declare gender, you can certainly declare race. Women are beginning to squawk. Now, they were one of the strongest vote groups for Mr. Biden in this last election. We'll see how much they stay with him as we progress down this road of them giving up everything they've worked for in competition and ability to have a fair shake out in society.
I will return with more from Steve Pierce and this week's guest on Inside New Mexico.
On behalf of the New Mexico Department of Health, take COVID-19 precautions. Wash your hands frequently for 20 seconds. Don't touch your face. Use a tissue or your elbow to catch your sneeze or cough. Avoid large gatherings and close contact with sick people, especially if you are elderly or high risk. If you have a cough, fever, or shortness of breath, stay home from work or school. Do not go to the ER or doctor's office without first calling the coronavirus hotline. And avoid all unnecessary out-of-state travel. Help prevent the spread of COVID-19.
We are back on Inside New Mexico, where Steve Pierce will bring in this week's guest. Steve?
Well, Derek, our special guest today, newly elected Representative Stephanie Lord. And so, Stephanie, a highly contested race. I know at one point in the evening, I got a text from you saying they just took away 1,000 votes, or maybe it was they gave 1,000 votes to your opponent and none for you. How did you end up winning that very competitive seat?
Well, I tell you, what it really came down to is a lot of grassroots effort. I did have a little bit of notoriety from being pro-gun women, so people knew where I stood with the pro-gun issue. And I just had to get out there. I had some great helpers who were out there volunteering their time. They were walking for me. They were leaving literature at people's doors. I had people calling for me. I had the Trump team helping me. I had everybody on board, and I was able to organize those people in such a way that I was able to pull this off. But you're right. I actually got a call at 11 o'clock that night that said, congratulations, you won. And while I was on the phone with that person, they said, oh, no, you're losing. So I went from up 1,000 points to down 1,000 points, and I went to bed thinking I lost, and sure enough, I'd won by the morning.
I'll tell you, that it was an up-and-down night. That's one of the reasons that we're asking a lot of questions still about the counting of the votes and the processing of the votes. We're going to continue that from the Republican Party of New Mexico. So is this something you have been planning for years to do, this running for office?
No, and I totally blame Representative Greg Schmades. This is all his fault. I was happy being an activist, and I was really happy in putting pressure on the politicians that were going against the gun bills. And he asked me to run, and I said no. And then he asked me again, and I said, can you find somebody better? And then he came back the third time, and he said, no, you're it. So I was very honored, and I took that very seriously, and I ran a very hard race. And it has been very eye-opening. The race itself and then being up there in office has all been eye-opening.
I asked that question because I want people to know that just your average, everyday people are the ones who run for office. So tell me a little bit about the choices of forming a third party in the Patriot Movement. So tell me what your take on that is, since that's a group you're very familiar with and a part of.
I will, and I'll be completely honest, which is one of the things people love and hate about me. I'm very honest. I understand their frustrations, but here's what I've told everybody. Forming a third party splits the Republicans, and I think that people should join, and they can even be kind of outside the Republican Party, but still vote with the Republican values. Because if we start a third party, what's going to happen is we're going to guarantee that Democrats will win forever. We're never going to have an opportunity to have our voice heard. So I'm saying stick with your values, whatever they are. But mostly what I find is that you're still going to align yourself with the Republican Party. It's like no different than with the Green Party. If the Green Party were to become a very large party, they would split the Democrat Party, and I'd be fine with that, honestly, for very selfish reasons. But on our side, I don't want to see us split ourselves apart, and I hope that makes sense, and I hope I don't upset the Patriot people, and I get their frustration. I know there's a lot of people that I have met that aren't necessarily Republican. They align with their values, but they left the Democrat Party because they love Trump. So we need to make sure that we're always including those people in our own Republican values. Like, we reach out to them and make sure that they all feel included. So I would hope that they could still stand on their own values, but still support Republican candidates, because, man, I would really hate for them to start running candidates and we just end up losing forever.
Yeah, that's my take on it completely. I tell people that even Teddy Roosevelt, the former president of the United States, tried to form another party and it failed. So you can always take away votes, but finding the cohesion to get enough votes to win is always the problem. And so just keep up that message. It's a message that I take. I gladly welcome the Patriots as a part of our group. Welcome them. Tell them to run for county chairs, run for ward offices, be a part of the process. If you think the voice is not strong enough, then get in and be a part of the voice. Now, when you got to Santa Fe, you just started about 2 weeks ago. Tell me your first impressions and what committees that you're on.
Okay, my first day was a disaster. They gave me a computer that I couldn't hear on, and speakers were crackling, and they brought me a headset I couldn't hear out of, and I couldn't hear, and I couldn't see, and it was a very, very frustrating day. But since then, I've totally got the hang of it. I'm in the health and consumer affairs, and so what I'm seeing in the health bills and in consumer affairs is bills that are going to cost the taxpayers a tremendous amount of money. And I'm trying to stop them because a bunch of them are frivolous and we don't have the money to spend right now. So I'm trying to do everything I can to stop it. We're outnumbered. And this goes back, I'm going to tie it back to the question that you asked earlier about the Patriot Movement and starting a third group. What I would love to see is those people help me to get good candidates that they feel are good in their district, still run them under the GOP, get them elected so that we're not outnumbered. Because what you have to understand is if you add somebody to a third party, I don't know where they fit into the caucus, right? I don't know if they're going to be Republican caucus or Democrat caucus. So what I need is numbers. The more Republicans that we have, the more we can stop these bills. So I'm getting bills that are $150,000 all the way up to $87 million was the last bill that just went through with the health. So we're spending a tremendous amount of money. There's three bills to kill oil and gas. There's three bills now to take away our Second Amendment. So it's just us and a minority fighting. And I think we need more people on board to help candidates win in their own backyard. So we have a majority. So we can actually stop these things. So it's been a lot of me trying to stop a lot of crazy bills. And if I just had a few more Republicans on our side, we'd be able to get that done.
Yeah, absolutely. It is surely a game of numbers. You might have seven Democrats on a committee and three Republicans. Obviously, they're going to outvote you every time on the House floor. It's, again, the same way. You got 70 members of the House, and I would guess that Republicans have, 26? And so the rest are Democrats. And it's very difficult for us to push our agenda and to keep them from pushing their agenda. Their agenda is harmful to the state. And so, again, I urge everyone, Patriot, Republican, Independent, whoever, join up and run as a conservative so that this state will have a future. Well, again, we've been talking to Stephanie Lord, newly elected representative from the East Mountains of Albuquerque, out across into three or four different counties. Stephanie, you are literally one of my favorite people. I watched you through the 2 years that you were just an interested bystander to transitioning into becoming a candidate, then becoming a candidate that really saw the truth of the campaign and began to articulate it in a way that people elected you. So I compliment you. I encourage you and stay active. The state, not just the party, but the state needs voices like yours. And thank you very much for being a part of the Republican Party's caucus in Santa Fe for this legislative session. Again, Stephanie Lord, representative from Bernalillo and the East.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on. I'm looking forward to fighting the fight and looking forward to finding some really good candidates that are like me, that are active and conservative and really want to run and will stand by their values. So thank you for having me on today.
Steve Pierce and I will return in just a moment to talk about some interesting information from the Government Accountability Institute and more on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party, Steve Pierce. Steve, tell us about what the GAI found.
This last week, the GAI, that's the Government Accountability Institute, put out a report. We always know that if you want to answer a question, just follow the money. But amazingly, they said that top Democrats in the nation are poised to reap tremendous financial gain if they're able to pass the legalization of marijuana. Of course, it's not just restricted to Democrats. That's how the article started out. But John Boehner, who was Speaker of the House when I was in Congress, suddenly he has reversed his field. He was always opposed to legalizing marijuana. Now, as a lobbyist, he's one of the top spokesmen for legalizing it. And in the article, it says that he's in a position to make about $20 million if he can get this thing done nationwide. Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, again, likewise, was always opposed to the legalization of marijuana. And suddenly he found that religious fervor once he saw the payoff that was in line for him. Nancy Pelosi's son works in the industry. She recently bought $100,000 of stock, understanding that what she was going to do was pass it and make it a legal element. Therefore, her stock would become a lot more. You talk about insider trading.
I thought it was illegal for a member of Congress to do that.
Well, it is, but only if anyone calls their hand on it, and you have to be a member of Congress to file an ethics violation. So they have kind of an inside game there. John Boehner, I helped him get elected as Speaker. I worked on his cause to become the leader of the Republican Party when I was there. But almost immediately, he began to serve differently than he had lived his previous life in Congress. So at one point, I was written up as being one of his 12 hardest votes for him to get. It's not a position I regret at all, and seeing the way he's turned on the Republican principles and is now espousing the legalization of marijuana. Again, it confirms that I was correct in being a very hard vote for him to get, because he very rarely worked on principle. He worked on power. And in Washington, you're going to have to choose between power and principle. The two can't coexist in the same person. So big news coming out there. Derek, in another just earth-shaking article, writer Molly Ball came out in Time magazine this last week, and she really enumerated and admitted this secret cabal that existed to keep Trump from being reelected. Trump has been complaining, saying that there was election day violations, and the press is just really ringing him out for saying that. And yet here she comes along and says that there was manipulation, but it was to preserve the election, not steal the election. It's just a point of view difference at that point. But she admitted that the elected and unelected Democrat officials, that large corporations, that the tech giants, that the legacy and social media all combined in this secret cabal to really manipulate the outcomes of the election by controlling the information that voters got. You remember they kept that information about Hunter Biden away from the Democrats so that after the election, the Hunter Biden story began to percolate out into the rest of the community. Fox News had always carried it, but Democrats don't watch Fox News. And as they found later, 10% of them said they wouldn't have not have voted for Joe Biden if they were aware of the China connection and if they were aware of the things that Hunter Biden was being investigated for by the FBI. And so you have this really serious problem that a very small group of people, they call them an oligarchy in government, that this oligarchy set itself up in order to affect the outcome of the election, in many cases illegally. And the article readily admits that they tampered with some of the voting machines, and yet the Trump team is not allowed to ask these questions. Meanwhile, the Democrats are gleefully saying that, yes, they pulled it off. So that's where we are in the country today, that you can get those two opposite outcomes. And you have to wonder, and some of the articles coming out in Breitbart are asking, why would the Democrats be putting this information out? And it's not just that they were putting it out, it's that they were excited that they had accomplished this manipulation of the vote. And so the only answer that seems to come to mind is they're so arrogant with their power. Again, it's the same problem they're running into with all of the executive orders coming out of the Oval Office. Joe Biden's team is arrogant with their power, and they're just wanting to sort of shake it in our face that we did it and there's nothing you can do about it. Well, that's always a dangerous course in American politics, because even both parties, neither like a thumb on the scales. They all want fair elections. They all want the winner to be who the people select, not who a small group of people select. So we will see where this ends up going. The Democrats are showing an awfully lot of hubris right now, and that usually is not a good thing in politics. There's a truism in politics that when you're up, you're never as far up as you think you are, and when you're down, you're never as far down as you think you are. And I think we're going to see that play out right now. Derek, another thing that I think that we ought to discuss is the whole GameStop stock market. Basically, what you have is in the market, there is a procedure called selling short. that's where you sell stock that you don't have, and you're betting that the price is actually going to fall, and so you can buy that stock later and pay back your broker. It's a legal process, but you got to have the money in the bank to do it, and it's very, very risky. But it looks like that some of the big players on Wall Street have been selling short. They run the price up by buying a stock, and then they sell short while the stock is high, knowing that they're about to start selling their stock. And when they sell it, the price is going to drop, and they're going to then be able to buy the stock at a lower price. What happened is a small group of outsiders said, wait, this is not ethical. It's not right. You all are gaming the system, and we're going to catch you at it. And so we had just a group of everyday people that said, we're going to play the opposite side. They started buying the stock, knowing that these options to buy the stock later generally have a very short fuse, 30 days, 60, 45, whatever it is. And so they began to urge their buyers to buy this GameStop, and the stock went very high. Well, then these big hedge funds that were gaming the system and going to sell short, they had to buy the stock at a much higher price to pay it back, because you got to give the stock back. You can't permanently sell stock you don't have and then not worry about it. So they were thinking the stock would be valued somewhere in the $20 range or even less. And meanwhile, the price went to $483. One of the big hedge funds, the estimate is that they lost over 50% of their hedge fund on that one day, and that even $70, $80 billion was lost by the hedge fund industry overall. So stay tuned, because you have everyday people now beginning to push back against the titans on Wall Street that have been manipulating the outcome of the stock market for decades. There's a hint that J.P. Morgan has been gaming the price of silver, and so they recently paid almost $900 million in fines to the SEC for manipulating the price of silver. And now estimates are that silver could go from $25 to $50. Some outside estimates are even believing that there's going to be a run on it, and actually could run the price up to several hundred dollars. I've seen an estimate of $1,000. So it is always interesting watching when people begin to push back against the system that has worked in place for so long without question. That's what's going on in GameStop and other stocks right now. So be careful where you put your money. And I would be very careful playing any of the sell short games. Games are selling long. Those are very risky games, and you stand to lose a lot.
If you have been listening to Steve and I, and we have piqued your interest in what the Republican Party of New Mexico is all about, you can find out more by going to www.gopnm.org. Party also has a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is at New Mexico GOP. You can also call party headquarters to get more information. That's 505-298-3662, 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We look forward to meeting with you again next week right here on Inside New Mexico.